This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3601 for Monday, the 23rd of May, 2022. Today's show is entitled, Read the Worst Car I Ever Had. It is hosted by Dave Morris and is about 6 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is, in the April 24th, 2022, out of ignorance, I bought a real dud of a car.
Hello, everybody. This is Dave Morris. Welcome to Hacker Public Radio. Now, today I'm doing an episode that was prompted by Beezer's show entitled The Worst Car I Ever Had, show 3542. I liked this show very much. It made me remember that I'd had experiences, regrettable experiences with cars, so I thought I'd tell you about it. So when I moved to Edinburgh, that was in 1981, I'd not owned a car up until that point. I'd owned a series of Italian motor scooters, small to medium powered motorbikes and so forth. I've been using a bicycle for a lot of time when I first came to Edinburgh, but I needed a car, really. I didn't want to be using the train to get around and so on. So the car that I bought was an oldish Peugeot 104, which is quite small, not very powerful, but it was a car and it did do the job. It's fine for driving around town, and I did use it occasionally to go and visit my parents in Norwich, which is quite a distance from Edinburgh. It's about a 7-hour drive because the roads are awful mostly. I once drove up north to Ullapool, in the north of Scotland. That's a shorter drive, but it wasn't really the car for doing that type of journey. So it was mainly a town car and for short trips in the locality. So as the Peugeot started to give me trouble, I looked around for a replacement, and I was visiting my parents at the time and went to a car dealer in Norwich and was shown an Austin Maestro, a British car. The Peugeot, of course, was a French car. It was newer than the Peugeot and seemed to be in pretty good condition, so I bought it and traded in the Peugeot as I did so. So the Maestro range at that time was seen as reasonably good, at least as far as I know. I'm no great pundit of cars, never have been, so it was more or less sort of a gut reaction I had to it rather than anything scientific. And it was newer than the Peugeot. It seemed to be in good condition, so I bought it. So the car that I bought was only a few years old and had fairly low mileage. The model was an HLE. Not sure what that stands for. I think the E is something to do with economy. 1.3-litre petrol engine. It was a five-door, as they call them. It's four doors for passengers and a hatch at the back. So you've got a fair amount of luggage space. And these things are called hatchbacks in the UK. And all Maestro models had front-wheel drive, and this one had a manual gearbox. Probably were automatic ones, but the automatic British cars are not common at that time, to my knowledge anyway. The Maestro had a bunch of economy features. It had a four-speed gearbox, and the fourth gear was supposed to be an economy gear ratio. It had an econometer, as they called it, on the dashboard with green and red LEDs indicating how economically the car was being driven. So, yeah, I had issues with this car. It seemed to have been designed to be driven as empty as possible, was the conclusion I drew. As soon as there were any passengers or luggage or both, the car was a nightmare to drive. There were models in the range that performed well, I think. Being passed by them on motorways and when trying to drive up any kind of hill showed this to be the truth. I've read that the standard 1.3 model was pretty good without the economy features, but I never experienced one. The problem was that the gap in gear ratios between the second and third gear was enormous, as if you'd accidentally skipped a gear. You know, you're changing gear, you're getting up to a reasonable level of revs, you're moving along reasonably well, you change gear and the engine goes, oh no, and it can't cope with the ratio you've just given it. So it only really worked on a flat road. If you were going up a hill, it was dreadful. You just had to rev it like hell in a lower gear. Or it worked okay if you're going downhill, not surprisingly, or you had a tailwind, or the car was completely empty. If you had passengers, then you were absolutely shot. As I was doing the research for this, I was happy to find a link describing these problems, and I've linked it in the notes, and the guy's description made me laugh. Have a look yourself if you're interested. It also brought back the memories of the extreme frustration I experienced with this car. I came to really hate it. It was all right for chugging around town and stuff, but not even that, because Edinburgh's quite a hilly city, so you know there would be times when you'd really be struggling up a hill with this. So my conclusion was that this particular Maestro model generally was a failure. I think people would agree with that. Anybody who knows anything about it has had it equal experience with it, and that's probably why I got it at a good price. Previous owner is probably keen to get rid of it after a year or so of using it, and obviously when I went into the car dealership, they knew a sucker when they saw one, and I was that fool for sure. So yeah, do your research, I guess, is the thing to learn from that. I did keep the car for a few years, did a few long journeys in it, and frustratingly, and eventually replaced it with a Vauxhall Astra, which is another well-known British car. This was the Mark III, I think, which was, wow, chalk and cheese, absolutely differently altogether, much nicer. So yeah, buying a car without really knowing what it is you're likely to get, and listening to what salesmen tell you, was a bitter lesson to learn, but boy, did I learn it. Okay, that's it. Okay then, bye.
Been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.